Thank you. It's a real joy to be here. It really is. It's like a refreshing. When you walked in the door, you knew something was happening inside the auditorium. And by the way, let me say, I was amazed to see the lobby. That was not like that when I was here last time. You folks are doing something for the Lord. I'm starting to puff this. And I rejoice with what God is doing. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy your worship. It's spontaneous. It's magnifying the Lord. And two, it's always a joy to come to Nations Church. Sorry I had to cancel in December, but I was going to send a substitute, but Pastor, no. We'll wait till you get here. And Pastor and Jesse are just two delightful folks that I've come to learn to love. And once in a while, call them up, how's everything going down in Houston? And always good reports. And I rejoice with you, and I'm glad to be here. Sorry, it's a quick in and out, but I have 2 days this week, and then I'm off to preach a convention in Hawaii on this coming week. But it's a joy. It's a joy to be here. I had no problem flying down and flying back today, if the plane will get me back, as it got me down here. And to hear your worship and your songs and your blessings. New York is always a must at Christmas time. Always, and it wasn't cold this year. And always before I go to see the family, I always spend time in New York and meet some unique people. I'm from the Full Gospel Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International, which is your coverage with the IRS. We have almost 1,000 churches and some 3,000 ministers across the world. And a growing organization. We have just moved into our new facilities. God gave us a $1 million complex that we paid $525,000 for.
Hallelujah!
This is part of a bank. I don't know of another bank that has a chapel in it. But the bank has a two-floor building that's attached to the bank. And the person that owned that went bankrupt. And the bank called me and said, look, we don't want to advertise. We are particular who wants to buy the building behind us because we're attached to them. And we're a two-floor glass building. And they said, look, the building is estimate of $1,200,000. But if you folks want it, we'll give it to you for $525,000. And of course, there was no question. We knew that this was God. We'd been praying for an enlarged facility. Been praying that God would bless. And with it came two tenants. One tenant has 60 employees, a mortgage company. And the other tenant is a train. They furnish all the conductors on trains, so they're 24-hour operation. And we always leave the chapel door open. When we have service, it goes down the hallways, and we're ministering to almost 80 people. But it's been a joy, a delight, and we are thrilled what God has done for us down in the office. Right now, we are working on our Hispanic convention. I met with 37 Hispanic ministers yesterday morning in Fort Worth. And our convention will be in Fort Worth, March the 20th and 21st. In Dallas, they are the third largest population. They have 30% of our population, and sometimes a missed population. And we have put some emphasis on our Hispanics so that they know that we love them and we want to care for them and we want to cover them with the umbrella of the IRS. And we'll be having our convention in Fort Worth, March 20th and 21st, and then we've chartered a plane and we're getting down to Victoria, Mexico, and we begin our Mexico convention Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. That's the first thing that's coming up. But the big thing that's coming up is our international convention in Dallas, Texas, July 1st to the 5th. We've called it 2000 Celebration. We're asking all our churches to be present. We have the ministers and their wives and the delegates at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, which was one of our largest hotels in the city. And the youth, we expect 1,500 youth. They will be in the Crown Plaza Hotel. And the youth will be worshiping at Calvary Temple, which is right near the Cowboy Stadium. Now, that's not a bad word to say around here, is it?
Right.
And our office is near the Cowboy Stadium, but that auditorium seats 2,600. So it gives our youth plenty of opportunity to grow, and the hundreds of youth around the Dallas-Fort Worth area will be joining with us. The ministers and their wives, their ballroom seats 3,600. But on Tuesday night of the convention will be the youth rally, and that's when both groups merge. And of course, it will be predominantly slanted towards young folks. And we are delighted to have with us Jeff Ogwood, who's a member of the Cowboys team. Reggie will be our speaker, and with him will come Deion Sanders, who will share his testimony. It'll be a night of inspiration. It will be a night of dynamics. It'll be a night of really pushing forth the gospel of Christ. It'll be the night of awarding scholarships. As you know, we have a huge scholarship program, and those scholarships are awarded on that Tuesday night. And at the end of the service, Calvary Temple's choir, which numbers 150, will sing a patriotic number, then go into the Star Spangled Banner. And our deaf teen choir, that's from Mesquite Church, they open up quite a few of the star hockey games with the Star Spangled Banners only they sign. There's about 38 deaf young folks in that choir. The church runs about 1,000, but they have great emphasis on their deaf. And they will be signing during the choir singing, and fireworks will take place all through the building, rockets and what have you. That will be the climax of our 4th of July celebration with our youth. And then, of course, it closes with a banquet with the Imperials Quartet. You'll be getting convention material. We hope that some of you will come. We encourage the youth to come and register. Your rooms are $70 a night, but for stay in a room, it's about $18 a night. And you'll enjoy the Six Flags. You'll enjoy Hurricane Harbor. You'll enjoy all but the emphasis on, especially the spiritual emphasis, our talent playoffs, our boy preacher, girl preacher, and then, of course, our Bible quiz program. And they all receive scholarships, the winners, to Lee University. But I'm hoping that you'll be, anybody not coming, staying. Good, everybody's coming now. You don't lie, especially in church. You ask Ananias and Sapphira, they'll tell you so. But love to have you in July 1st through the 5th in Dallas, Texas. And again, Pastor, it's a joy to be here. It's not a job, it's a joy. And I enjoy coming down here, and I have not accepted too many invitations due to physical problems, which you'll hear this morning. But God is good all the time, and I rejoice because of it. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17? Am I still popping this? Beginning with verse number 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Notice, he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. You can get in trouble obeying God, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." My title this morning is, "What do you do when your brook dries up?" This doesn't mean you have backslidden. Elijah did not backslide by going by the brook Cherith. He did what God told him to do. While everyone else was starving because of the famine in the land, he was provided the refreshment not only by the brook, but by the ravens that brought him food. Your brook will dry up. Job did not sin, and his brook dried up. He lost his children, 10 of them, in one event. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. And even lost his wife, who said in chapter 2 of Job, "Drop dead and curse God on the way out." But you remember, in the very first chapter of that book, God's eyes were upon Job. He was a man that loved God and eschewed evil. He did not sin to have his brook dried up. Someone said concerning Jonah, when you're down in the mouth, remember Jonah, he came out all right. For the Bible said, now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry ground. Let me give you some points to do when your brook dries up. That means you don't get angry at God. You don't get mad at the preacher. You don't take it out on your family. Number one, you don't panic. Because your brook dries up doesn't mean that God has separated himself from you. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Here's where you've got to stand on the promises and not on feelings. I came to church this morning and I really didn't feel like it. But you came. The important thing is that you came. If you go by feelings, you will have problems all of your spiritual life. You see, God directed Elijah to the brook. God may direct you to a place that seemingly is a blessed place, but will dry up. Although water is a necessity of life, and God has led you in the pathway that you have followed, always remember this, that the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. When you go into a restaurant, most waiters and waitresses, now you go in the high class, they've got to memorize it. They do not write it on paper. But most will write down what you want from the menu. They take your order. And you expect your order to be fulfilled in what they have written on the paper. They're not always 100% correct. Your steps, Elijah's steps, were ordered by God. And yet tragedy occurred when his brook dried up. I'm having great difficulty with it. Oh, I'm seeing it's down below here. That's not a good place for it to be. My microphone is dropping. Well, how's it? Does it click in there, Jesse?
It should. There you go.
I will not touch it. You see, it isn't because of a spiritual problem. It isn't because you've done wrong with God. But you must be very careful when your brook dries up that you don't panic and blame everybody but yourself. There are people this morning that are not in church because their brook dried up and they said it's the church's fault. Elijah did not get dismayed at the Lord. He knew that God had directed him there, and from there it was God's responsibility to get him to the next station. We think we know about tomorrow, but we don't know about tomorrow. But you'll notice in Job's case, in all this, I cannot picture myself in a mortuary with 10 of my loved ones in boxes. I can't fathom that. My father died, my mother died individually. But to stand among 10 of your sons and daughters, lifeless, to go bankrupt overnight, and then find your health is already gone, and the only leaning post you have is your wife, and she tells you to curse God and die, and your friends come to give you comfort that is not biblical. In all this, Job sinned not. In the midst of his brook drying up, it was then he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job, where is he then? You're in a mess. Everything has gone backwards for you. He says, I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. I just know that my Redeemer liveth. Yeah. You've got to stand. Number two, you don't become bitter. Let me read what Paul's testimony was. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible said that after a while, Cherith, the brook, dried up. You see, that's not a period. That's a comma. There's more coming. I turned to Peter when he cursed God three times at the high priest Caiaphas' home. He went out and wept bitterly. I would like to say, Peter, hang in there. That's just a comma. Greater things are coming for you, Peter. It was Peter that God took a special attention to at the resurrection morning. Go tell my disciples, the conjunction, and only one designated, Peter. It was Peter that preached Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. Thousands came to know Christ that day. But when you look back when his brook dried up, it looked like Peter was a has-been. But it was only a comma. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know the problem that you're facing. I do not know your circumstances. But I do know this, there are better things ahead. Elijah, it's only a comma. It's only a place that you're passing through. And Elijah did exactly what number three is, stand firmly on the promises of God. Let me share with you, Isaiah wrote, when thou passeth through the waters, you don't camp there. Amen. You only go through. I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. He doesn't leave you when the brook dries up. He's not there just when the sun is shining. He's not there when you are blessed. He's there when you're not blessed. You see, the psalmist said, blessed, that means literally happy, is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca. And if you look up the word valley of Baca, it means the valley of weeping. Make it a well, the rain also fills the pool. In the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of being isolated seemingly from the body of Christ because of your brook drying up, God doesn't dry up. His resources do not come to an end. God does not say, I've done all I can, now I've got to drop you. He's just saying, hang in there. We're going to go through Becca. We're going to go through this time of weeping. We're going to go through this time of discouragement. We're going to go through this status quo. Psalmist 112 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings whose heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You're going to make it. What's the results of a dried brook? And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, arise and go to Zarephath. Zarephath is a place of miracles. Glory to God. Did you hear me? He's going from a brook that is natural. It is coming and flowing into the Jordan. It is natural. Zarephath is not natural. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He goes to the most impossible lady. Bankrupt. Has nothing in supplies. Doesn't even have a coin collecting. She has nothing in reserve. Nothing except one more meal. Elijah could have gone to the richest person in Zarephath. But you see, the comma was, Elijah, you're going to a city of miracles. Hallelujah. Not only was he fed from nothing, but you remember the son died and there was a resurrection. Hear me, friends. Your brook may be dried up. That joy, that bubbling may not be very conscious to you this morning. Reading God's word daily may not come as now a blessing, it becomes a chore. Don't panic. Don't get mad at God. He's already ordered your footsteps. The pastor has nothing to do with it. Amen. Why do we always blame the church? Why do we always blame somebody for the mess we're in? You blame nothing if you believe the scriptures.
Amen.
He leads me. He guides me. He is with me. He will never leave me. We have all the promises to fulfill that even through dried brooks, God's going to have a comma. A miracle's waiting for us. Something greater than we've had by the brook. Let me come and share with you just a little bit. It's a personal testimony, and probably as long as my message has been. A year ago this past November, and I was here in December, and if you'll remember, you took me to a barbecue place to eat, and I ate very little, very lovely, but I was told in November that I was going to have a great problem. My kidneys were now going to come to an end. I couldn't take that news. I couldn't handle it. And I began to go on a starvation, not purposely. I lost my appetite because I couldn't think of changing my ways of living. I'm in New York for breakfast and California for lunch. My life had been all over the globe. I told no one. And then he called me back in January, which is a year this month, and said, "Pastor, you and your cardiologist, we're going to meet this afternoon. We must come to a decision." Well, my brook began to dry up. And I began to question God, where are you? I preach healing. I believe in healing. And my brook began to dry. And my spiritual life began to... But I kept ministering. I went to Hawaii in January, preached the conference. This would be my 39th year there. I continued my activities. I was in Mexico, in Pueblo, to preach the convention in our Mexico convention. But in January we met, and the cardiologist said, there's no way that you can continue life the way you are. You have fibrillation of the heart. You've had open heart surgery. And now the kidneys are not working. They're just not working, and you're going to have to go on dialysis. And I said, no, gentlemen, you have been friends of mine, and both of my doctors, my kidney specialist and my cardiologist, are dear friends. They've been with me several times to church. But I went on a starvation. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I preached in April, the convention in, well, it was near the city of Palm Beach in California. Palm Springs, rather. And a friend of mine's mother passed away in Los Angeles, and so the funeral was put on a Sunday afternoon so that I would preach in the morning, and I would be taken to Los Angeles for the night, for the afternoon, to preach the funeral and come back for the night service and then preach the convention. I'm now down to about 128 pounds. I do it. I come home, and I just have come to the end of the road, and I remember sitting in my chair saying, "Lord, I've had it. There is nothing flowing in my life spiritually. I call upon you and my prayers don't even hit the ceiling. I've preached these many years. I've tried to give him my credentials as if he didn't know." And we all were guilty. My brother called me May 7th. It was my birthday. And my brother didn't like the way I was talking. He thought I was very incoherent. He called my sister in Delaware, and he's living in Florida, and said, "Get the first plane and get to Dallas. Something's wrong down in Dallas." My sister came and found me unconscious. How long, we don't know. But I do know that I was within 6 hours of death. They rushed me to the hospital, and everything went downward. My eyes were sunk in. My teeth were separated. I looked like a skeleton. But I remember one night in the hospital. I was there for 2 weeks. And I was agonizing. I had flowers. I mean, I had a suite, but the flowers were choking me, the oxygen. And I remember waking up and I can't breathe. And even though I have oxygen going in me, I pushed my button. And I said, "Nurse, please get these flowers out of my room. I can't breathe." And they put the flowers in the hallway. Oh, it must have been 50 or 60 bouquets, just in the hallways. And then I could sense the Lord saying it. I did not hear his voice, but I could sense him saying, "Now what are you going to do? You got rid of the flowers. Your attitude hasn't changed." And I really was crying. You get into a self-pity, folks. You got to be very careful in your spiritual walk with the Lord. The brook is not your substance. Your substance is God. And I said, "God, I've had it. I would rather die than face life." And he unconsciously said, "Watch for a visitor tomorrow morning." The next morning came. My sister slept in the other room of the suite. And I said, "I'm going to have visitors this morning." She says, "No, there are no visitors are allowed except the ministers." I said, "I'm going to have a visitor this morning and you're to let them in." "Who is the visitor?" I said, "I don't know. It's going to be a visitor." They thought, "Really, he's gone now. He really's gone." But a dear doctor and his wife, who are dear friends of mine, we have gone vacation together. We've shared together. They came knocking at the door, and it was the wife. Said, "I know that no visitors are allowed, but I must come to give you a message from the Lord." She gave me the last verse of the book of Joel. Her translation read like this: "And the blood of the king's son will not be contaminated by the horses and the bridle." Everybody thought I was in the hospital because of my heart. It wasn't my heart. I was in there because of my kidneys. And she had a word of prayer and left. And that began to soak into me. The blood, which is purified by the kidneys, would not be contaminated by the bridle and the horse. I was 117 pounds. And after so bit, I went on dialysis, hemo, because that's where I first started, and they sent a Catholic priest to see me. And he said, "I do not know why I'm here, but I've got to tell you that you don't live with a dialysis with a hemo. That's not the style of your life." He says, "I want you to know what's now available to you." He said, "There's a little machine, and they call it PD. You're to get one of those machines." Now, this Catholic priest I've never seen before. "You're to get this machine, and you plug yourself in at night and unplug you in the morning, and you carry it with you all over the world, and you just go on with life." I said, "Now, that can't be true." He said, "It's all computerized. You don't need to know anything. It's already connected to the center, and you have no problem, and you have no pain. It's just a connection, and you get connected, and you went." My strength was near gone. I went home. I was home, and the last Saturday of September, I woke up, and I said to my sisters, for they were caring for me, "I'm going to work this morning. The office doesn't open on Saturdays." I said, "The Lord has healed me. I said, I have strength. You'll see me when you see me. I'm going to work." And I spent 5 hours at work. I thought, I feel good. And they told me about this little cart I could get that puts this machine on it, that I don't have to carry it. It's a suitcase effect, but I don't want to carry it because of the weight. So I thought, I'll go down to the mall and I'll do some shopping. I thought, I feel good. I'll go to Pearle Vision and get my glasses straightened out. They're kind of crooked. I thought, well, I haven't pumped gas in my car in such a long time. I'm going to stop at the gas station. And I got home and I said, "Sisters, get dressed. We're going out to the restaurant." They said, "What in the world happened to you?" I said, "The Lord healed me.
Hallelujah.
The Lord healed me."
Hallelujah.
From that point on, my strength has been restored. My appetite is increasing poco, little by little. My weight has picked up. But I'll tell you, when my brook dried up, I can assure you God didn't dry up.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
He didn't dry up, folks. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care where your footsteps take you. We are God's property. And you've been singing the choruses that blend with my message. You take back what the enemy stole. You don't waddle by a dried up brook. You don't stay there and feel self-pity. You get up and God says, arise. You've got to stir yourself. It's not going to come by God's pushing you up. You've got to stir yourself. You've got to stand up and say, I believe the promises of God. I'm going to claim the territory that God has given to me. I'm not going to let the devil destroy me. I'm not going to let him ruin my ministry. Well, on October 13th, I opened up the convention in October for our minister, our executive board in Hawaii, and I preached the opening day. My first time back in the pulpit. And ever since, I have become the doctor's miracle child. There is a slight beat with my kidneys this morning. Yes, I'm still on the machine. I'm still my plugs with me this morning. I'm still going through the principles, but I'm not looking at the little machine. In fact, that's my Bible study night every night. I just take the Bible out and I start writing down, and then my secretary types it up the next day. I have learned that my brook will not dry up and become the period of my life. I'm on my way to Zarephath. The leper said outside the city of Samaria, if we sit here, we'll die. Don't sit there. Don't get mad at everybody. Don't take it out on the church. Don't stop paying your tithes. Just keep going as if you're anointed and your brook's flowing. Zarephath is ahead. A miracle is about to happen. It's only a comma. I guarantee that's God's word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not let you down. Aloha Bowl has a flea market every Wednesday and Saturday in Honolulu. And I like going to the flea market. And I was at the flea market, and I saw this, and I purchased the motto. And you've heard it, but let me read it to you because I feel that this message was for you this morning. I don't know who you are this morning, but God sent me as a special delivery to minister to someone. Yes. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're treading seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer when it's twists and turn, as everyone sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you'll never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight. When you're hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Zarephath, you'll miss if you quit. Did you hear me? And you see, I went to Zarephath, and then I had some problems. They never had one of the tubes burst, but it burst, and they call it leaking. And I leaked for 4 solid weeks. Had to be padded, and had to go through another operation for this. They put this one in, and then another hemo for another week until this got strength. Well, I said, that's not the end of the story. You know where Elijah goes from Zarephath? He kills 4,000 prophets of Baal. I'm starting to kill the 4,000 prophets of Baal. They're pretty well gone. They're pretty well dead this morning. You don't stop anywhere along the way. In the walk of life, it is an active walk of faith. It is not a standstill. It is not a stop sign. It is not a red light. It's going with the Lord when you don't see or feel anything. You'll walk by faith and you win every time. Don't quit. Though your brook is dried up, though you're about to have a nervous breakdown, and the car payments are not going to be paid, hold in there. God will send the ravens. And if he doesn't do that, he'll move you to Zarephath. And if that happens, he'll move you to the top of the mountain where you kill all the prophets.
Yes.
The false prophets. I don't know who you are this morning. That's God's message to you this morning. Father in heaven, I have come with this which you've given me through the evening hours. And I don't know who the person is, Lord. That's not my responsibility. I'm just to be the errand boy. And whoever it is, Lord, would you give them that faith to know that this is not a period, it's a comma. Greater days are ahead. The promises of God are yet to be fulfilled. Satan's kingdom and all that he has stolen is to be taken back. Speak, Lord. Speak to that person. They feel so dry this morning. They've come to church by faith. And the tears behind doors have been many. But Lord, you've never left them. You've never forsaken them. Give them that assurance. We're only passing through. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, where is that person this morning? Say, I needed to hear what God had to say to me this morning. There's one hand. There's two. There's three. There's four. There's five. There's six. There's seven. There's eight. There's nine. There's 10. Yes, sir, I see yours. 11, there's 12, 13. You see, the devil would like to corner us, folks. We're living in the most exciting days of our life. And if the devil can get us down, he's killed the church. And we're the only season that's going to make this world know Christ. And I believe the day's coming when every church will be overflowed with people because God's going to send a revival. But if he can get the church to dry up now, there'll be no revival tomorrow. You see, God works through us, flesh. Is there one more? Say, I didn't raise my hand yet. God bless you, son. God bless you, sir. Father in heaven, you have seen the many hands that have gone up. I knew you didn't make a mistake. Lord, you're the only one that can make them realize that they must arise by faith and move into that spiritual Zarephath, Lord. And it may be to the most least of the city. But Lord, the miracle depends upon the least. You like to take little and make much of it. Help us to recognize that we're in your plan. We're in your family. We're in your care. But Lord, we're in your plans. Each individual, Lord, I cannot remember them all. There were so many this morning. Minister by thy Holy Spirit. May there be that determination. I won't quit. I won't sit here and die. I will arise and go forward in God. Minister to them this morning. And if you feel that you're that person, I'm just going to have you come and just kneel here at the altar. And I'm going to have Pastor and Jesse, and we're going to pray over you. But I want you to just come and kneel before his presence. Just come and kneel. If you feel that you're that one, that one, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. And Lord, begin that miracle today at this altar. May this altar be supernaturally charged by your Holy Spirit. When we get up from here, we're going to rise like Elijah, and we're going out to see Zarephath and see what God can do. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. You and Pastor, pray. Lord Jesus, you're the God of all gods. Minister to this life this morning. May there be a flow of your Holy Spirit. May there be a wooing in his heart and life that he senses God is here.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. If you want to be a blessing to Brother Jenkins, you can do that directly to Chester Jenkins. Is that okay? Just do it directly to him. You know, just hear the whole, sow something there. Just do it directly to him as you see him in the lobby or even now. One more thing. Mary, why don't you come on up just for a quick second before we go. Corey, why don't you write that out, Chester Jenkins, so they know who to make that check out to or whatever.
Well, most of you know that we've having the 30 days of glory. And that means that we're meeting like every night except Saturdays. Tonight we're going to be at Lakewood, but tomorrow night we'll start again at 7 o'clock. And if you haven't been here, I just want to encourage you to come, because God is really moving. And there's every night, there's no agenda. It's the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rod may not even know who's going to share that night. It's whoever the Holy Spirit puts on his heart or sends here. And God has just been moving, and you just wouldn't believe. There's been divine flows where we're all been crying, you know, because God's touching the youth. And this is not something that Pastor Rod or the staff, anybody thought up. It's ordained of God. And, you know, the Bible says, we draw close to the end times, that we should gather together all the more. And God wants to equip his people. He wants to heal people that needs healing and get them ready to do what he's called them to do. He wants to touch people. And I just encourage all of you to bring someone, maybe someone that needs to be saved. You know, just whoever God puts on your heart, the Holy Spirit, and just to come expecting. Like Belle, she blessed me because she says when she comes here, she expects something from God, and she gets something because she expects something from God. So just come expecting to receive whatever God has for you and whoever he places on your heart. And just tell your friends, if you have a church home, just come on the nights that your church is not meeting, and just come here and gather as a body of Christ in unity. Thank you.
And tonight at 7 o'clock, Rodney Howard Brown is going to be at Lakewood Church tonight. Those of you that, you know, since we're not having anything here tonight, we'll be here next Sunday night. Go on out there and sit under those meetings. How many of y'all missed church last night? You know what? That is so bizarre. When we started those things, it'd be too much to be Saturday night. And then Saturday, you know, when people started showing up, you know, yesterday to today, and we had to push down the idea. It's like, well, there's enough here to have a meeting, you know. But, you know, you get so used to it. You know, you program yourself. Can you believe that we've been in it a week already? And it's been wonderful just to sit in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll see y'all Monday night at 7 o'clock. Those that aren't going to Rodney Howard Brown meeting, go and sit in those meetings and make it a point to make every single last one of them. You know, we figured out, I was talking to some people, you know, it's like a tithe. You're just giving 1 month to the Lord. You're starting your year off right, the first fruits of the millennium. You know, and someone says, well, it's not convenient. Well, it probably wasn't meant to be convenient. You know what I'm saying? It's something that we're doing. We're tithing that first month in our agendas and our schedule to the Lord. You know, praise God. Isn't that a good thing? The Lord was moving. Thank those that were here early. It is absolutely wonderful to get the people that are here early that were praying and stuff. And the Lord spoke to some people and wanted y'all to be blessed with fellowship. Fellowship is ministry. Go out there. I think there's still coffee out there and some wonderful homemade cupcakes and cookies. And Rita's got some stuff out there as well. Aren't they doing a good job with that coffee bar? That is a ministry. And don't just walk out. You know, go out and sit and talk to somebody. Talk to someone you've never talked to before. Give them about 15 minutes, and then in a half an hour, get out the door real quick. Amen? So go out there and enjoy. Now, you little kids, if y'all going to get a cupcake, y'all make sure you take your cupcakes and stuff back to the children's room. I don't want all that stuff over the carpet, or y'all going to be here scrubbing the floors with me in Jesus' name. Amen? So let's put some good music on, and y'all go out and fellowship just for a bit. Find somebody and talk. Say, I will meet somebody you haven't talked to before. Promise. How many going to do that? How many are you going to find someone you have not talked to before and talk to them for at least 10 minutes? Make up stuff. Talk about dogs, cats, bats, chairs. Amen. Find something to talk about out there. So go on out there and have a good time fellowship, and we'll see y'all tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Don't forget Brother Chester Jenkins. Be a blessing to him. Amen. If you don't have anything, I'll give you something to give him in Jesus' name.